Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the investor call of TCW Limited hosted by Dickenson World. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Jaju from Dickenson World. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. A very warm welcome to everyone present here for the investor phone call of DCW Limited. I would like to remind you that today's remark might include forward-looking statements and actual results may differ materially from those contemplated by forward-looking statements. Any statements we make on this call today are based on our assumptions as on date, and we have no obligation to update this statement as a result of new information or future events. Today, we have with us the management of DCW Limited, represented by Mr. Satvik Jain, President of DCW, Mr. Sudarshan Ganapathy, CEO of DCW. I would now like to invite Mr. Satvik Jain to make his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rahul. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to DCW's Quarter 3 FY23 con call. Thank you all once again for joining us today. We will start today's call with a brief on the company's performance of the last quarter and then move on to some of our new initiatives. We hope all of you have gone through our press release and investor presentation that has been uploaded on the exchanges and our website. To begin with, we are happy to say that DCW has reported strong numbers for Q3 and for the 9 months ended FY23, even on the back of severe volatility in the chemical space and global inflationary pressures. Revenue and EBITDA for the 9 months have increased 17% and 47% year-on-year, respectively. DCW is blessed with a diversified and balanced portfolio of specialty and commodity chemicals that help in achieving this. Our specialty chemicals continue to deliver stability in earnings, with EBITDA growing by 35% year-on-year for the 9 months ended FY23. We expect the year to close with the specialty chemicals contributing around 27% to our EBITDA. On the other hand, our commodity chemicals business also aided the company's growth momentum in the 9 months, with EBITDA growing by 57.5% year-on-year. As our specialty segment gives us stability and consistency, the commodity business gives us additional bandwidth to play on favorable market dynamics. Over the past couple of years, the company has garnered the benefits of this strategic combination. FY22 was a good year for PVC, while FY23, until now, has been favorable for caustic soda and soda ash. As mentioned at our last interaction, we continue to invest in specialty chemicals that will further strengthen our portfolio. Our two projects, that is the additional 10,000 tons of CPVC and line balancing capex on SIOP, are underway. Progress is being monitored closely, and both are around 50% completion as we speak. We are trying our best to have these projects fast-tracked and hoping for a completion before the second half of FY24. Also, to add on to our new initiatives, we are exploring possibilities of replacing some of our energy requirements with renewable power, which drive our awareness of a sustainable future and making efforts to reduce our carbon footprint. Additionally, we have also set up an internal committee to drive operational efficiency at our plants to unlock additional value from our existing businesses. To touch briefly on each of our products, CPVC has been a consistent player in our portfolio, producing at maximum capacity and running a backlog on the order book. The market also continues to be strong and is growing. We are eagerly waiting for our new capacity to kick in to meet the demand from our customers and maintain our first mover advantage. Coming on to SIOP, the management's consistent efforts have led to a positive turnaround of this division, with consistently improving capacity utilizations. This has improved to 74% in Q3 from a mere 20% in FY20. For the 9 months, it is reported, this division has reported a revenue growth of 62% year-on-year and an EBITDA growth of a staggering 300% year-on-year. On the commodity business, the caustic soda and soda ash divisions have outperformed our overall results for Q3 FY23. That is thanks to the better market dynamics and the company's strategy of strategic decisions of tying up with clients at appropriate times. Global disruption has also kept prices favorable in this quarter. While soda ash realizations continue to remain firm, we are seeing a significant reduction or softening of prices of both caustic soda and synthetic rutile, which comprise of the caustic soda division. Moving on to PVC, as you have seen, PVC prices have been on a roller coaster ride over the last 2 years. FY22 has witnessed an extremely favorable market, while FY23 began with softening of the same. Towards the end of Q3, we finally saw a recovery of the free fall in realizations and is now expected to be favorable as we speak. The stability of pricing is now showing an improvement in the demand situation of this product. To touch briefly on our financing efforts, the refinance of our high-cost debt at the end of Q2 has started yielding results. Finance costs have seen a significant reduction of almost 29% year-on-year in Q3 FY23. This has given an additional boost to the company's growth momentum. The company expects a further reduction next year, which we expect would be around a 45 to 50% reduction of the FY23 finance cost number. With this, I will hand it over to Pradeepto Mukherjee, our CFO, to detail out our performance, and then we can take on some questions. So over to you, Pradeepto.
So it looks like your line is muted. Yeah.
So good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, Satvik, firstly, and welcome everyone to the Q3 earnings call for DCW. So before we move into the specifics for Q3's performance, I'd like to take this opportunity to put forward some broad financial trends for the company. Considering the quarter just gone by, now for a 4 quarters in a row, DCW has achieved and maintained an operating EBITDA of above 100 crores. The phenomenon started of 100 crore plus from quarter four of last fiscal. FY22 operating EBITDA, so if we talk about our last fiscal, the operating EBITDA for the company was 330 crores for the entire year, and that's considered to be the best performance in the history of the company. Just to touch upon that, the 9 months performance now in this fiscal, we have achieved an operating EBITDA of 340 crores. That is actually 10 crores more than our annual EBITDA achievement for last year. Coming to the interest costs, as Satvik has already mentioned, for this quarter, our interest costs is around 19.5 crores, which is the lowest in many quarters. And in fact, we have returned back to the interest level which we used to service in FY17. This is predominantly because of the refinancing activities of the KSSF debentures which we did last quarter. Coming to the specifics of the quarterly performance, we'll start with the revenue. The revenue for the quarter was around 580 crores, which is 17% lower over the last quarter and 12% lower than Q3 of last year. PVC division has been the major cause for the reduction in top line in quarter three. The PVC production and sales for this quarter, or the quarter which went by, was lower by 20%, which is at 20,000 tons as compared to the earlier quarters. During the first half of this quarter, the PVC prices, as was also told, was in a declining trend starting from quarter one itself. Till the first half of this quarter, third quarter, it was reducing. So was our VCM prices. The company had incurred losses in the first two quarters, and the company at this point in time tried to time the VCM purchase to reap the maximum benefits of the input pricing. In the process, we undertook a planned shutdown in the PVC plant somewhere in November for 15 days. By the quarter end, we have been now holding almost very minimal amount of PVC inventory. As a result of this strategy which we undertook for PVC procurement in quarter three, as discussed, our December month's PVC performance have turned positive. And the impact of high cost inventory of VCM holding have more or less got wiped off. And you can see the benefits of the PVC in the bottom line from quarter four onwards. The second big impact of the revenue reduction in quarter three of this fiscal was also the price erosion for the PVC business. The average NR for net realizations for this quarter was 14% lower. I mean, the prices were 14% lower than the last quarter. And if you compare it with quarter three of last fiscal, it's down by 47%. For the quarter of this year revenue compared to the last quarter, there was also one more factor of lower sales of synthetic rutile, which had a export cutoff issue at the quarter end. Coming to the EBITDA margin, the company has done an EBITDA of 105 crores, which is almost in line with quarter two EBITDA despite our revenue fall. So the EBITDA margin for the company stood at 18.25% for the quarter, which is the highest ever for the company. The EBITDA margin for 9 months stood at 17%, and as against our last year EBITDA margin of 13%. Coming to EBITDA in value terms, the quarter two, we clocked an operating EBITDA of 110 crores. This quarter, we did 105 crores. The 5 crores quarter-on-quarter dip was typically because of our windmill business in Rajasthan had a one-time impact of expenses of 2.5 crores. As mentioned, SR sales were lower because of the cutoff issue, and hence in the caustic division, we saw a dip of EBITDA by 22 crores. But with the better supply chain management as discussed earlier, and the late increase in the PVC prices, it helped us to trim the PVC losses from 22 crores last quarter to 20 crores this year. So an improvement by 20 crores in the quarter, by 2 crores in the quarter. As we spoke about the interest cost, it has been lowest in many quarters now. The company is also looking at the possibility of refinancing one last leg of its legacy loan, which is of 100 crores, and that we are targeting or evaluating to do it in quarter four this year itself. The present loan which we are in consideration has an IRR of 10.75%, and we are expecting the IRR to be refinanced, the refinance loan to be at an IRR of 9.25%. However, this would have a one-time hit of cash and non-cash approximately 7 crores in the quarter. So it is at an evaluation stage within the company. If we do this refinancing, then obviously we will be able to hit the lower end of the expected interest for FY24, which we anticipate to be ranging between 65 crores to 170 crores and 70 crores. Last year we concluded the interest at 113 crores. This year we anticipate the interest cost will be around 130 crores, depending on the the decision we take on refinancing this or not. Coming to the other financial aspects, the current ratio for the company as on 31st of December stood at over 1.3 as against 1.02 in March. So a significant improvement in the current ratio. The gross borrowing stood at around 535 crores in December, and it would be at a level of 515 crores by the end of the fiscal. The company continues to maintain a healthy war chest of cash of 150 crore plus to support and fast-track the CPVC and the SIOP expansions which has been announced. Having said this, I think we can keep the call open for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Our first question is from the line of Kalpesh Agarwal from Lloyd LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, Mr.
Yes, please.
Is my voice audible?
Yes, you are audible. Please, go ahead.
I want to understand, you know, in terms of volumes, you have seen PVC remaining stable. I want to understand, is there any plan for increasing that capacity going ahead? And so, for example, you said that 27% will come from specialty chemicals. I want to understand what could be the maximum percentage of EBITDA can come from specialty chemical after this capex is done in CPVC.
So I think what Satik would have told is that we will conclude this year at a speciality percentage to EBITDA of 27%. So from last year to this year, we have not built up capacity into the speciality. It is only from October onwards, post we announced, we are building capacity into CPVC, which is doubling our capacity from 10,000 tons to 20,000 tons. And also doing line balancing capex into synthetic rutil, which will augment our capacity by 33% from 60 tons per day to 85 tons per day. Having said this, next year, I think we are eyeing 35 to 40% of our EBITDA to be contributed from the specialty segment. However, that obviously depends on how the EBITDA is achieved from the other businesses, which are the commodity businesses. But on a rough scale, we're looking at a 35% of EBITDA contribution from the specialty segment in FY24.
Okay. So what you want to say that out of 340 crores what you made this year, that 25% will be of specialty chemicals, that close to around 85 crores, right? So in absolute terms, what could be the amount in say from specialty chemicals? I want to understand that right now for CPVC we are making around 40 crores of 9 months. We have made 40 crores of EBITDA.
Yes.
So this 10,000 tons will give us double, right?
So that is
80 crores of EBITDA from CPVC, and SIOP will be another 50 crores.
Yes.
I mean, close to 120 crores from that. So when you say that 40-45% will be specialty chemical, so I understand that you are overall lowering the EBITDA number for the company?
I mean, so the EBITDA for this 9 months of CPVC is 40 crores. So that if you annualize that, then we are talking of a CPVC EBITDA of around 60 crores. Right? SIOP, our annualized EBITDA would be around 50 crore plus. Now the CAPEX, what we are doing for both of these specialty, will obviously double our CPVC capacities and profits, and so will our SIOP improve by 33% in the profit. But the benefit of that will be achieved for half of the year for next fiscal, because we anticipate the capacity on board somewhere from H.
And what is the CAPEX you have incurred for CPVC, sir?
For CPVC and SIOP put together, if you refer to our earlier communication, we have told that it is around 125-130 crores.
How much you said, sir?
125-130 crores.
But anything specific for CPVC, you want to understand that... after 20K, if you want to put another 10K, what will be the CAPEX, sir? I mean, if we decide any, to further, want to understand any management view that we will further increasing our CPVC beyond this 20K?
I think that would depend on our debt position as we move in and complete this CAPEX. So we are expecting to complete the CAPEX by Q2. And that is the time when we would announce our next CAPEX. Obviously, there is a team, a strategy team in the management who is working on the next level of growth. And to answer very briefly, the CPVC capacity enhancement from after 20,000 tons is already in our cards, and we are evaluating that.
But I want to understand that future CAPEX will be at the same rate, or it will be lower than that?
So if you refer, now since the plant, we are putting the capacity in our existing Shahupura plant, the utility is common, so we don't have to spend on the utilities as we augment the capacity going forward for CPVC.
So, do you even plan to double SIOP? I mean, are we done with SIOP, sir?
Yeah, pardon, please.
We are doubling capacity in CPVC, are we doubling the same for SIOP going ahead?
No, so SIOP, as we told, as of now, what is in the public domain is we are increasing the capacity from 10,000 tons to 20,000 tons of CPVC, and we are increasing our output in the SIOP plant from 60 tons per day to 85 tons per day, which culminates to 28,000 tons per annum, which has been the rated capacity when we put the project, but there were certain line balancing capexes which we are doing to reach up to the full, debottleneck the plant and exhaust the full capacity of the SIOP plant.
One last question, if I can ask, is, what are the current spreads for PVC? As we understand, we are using VCM. What could be the current spreads versus historical spreads?
See, current spread between VCM and PVC is around $200.
How much, sir?
$200.
Okay. And so, how much it was, in FY22?
$200. FY22, it was close to $300.
So you mean to say that only $100 realization spread less made us losses?
No. You are generalizing. I am telling as on date. See, from April till December, there has been a continuous fall in the PVC price. Okay, which also had an inventory effect on our raw material. So the prices have got stabilized. And the prices are looking now more stable, and we are also cut our inventory loss on our VCM. So as we talk on, as on date, the VCM PVC spread is close to $200. So I cannot generalize for the full year. So the loss that the PVC division has incurred from April to December to a great extent is also because of the lag in the fall in the PVC price, because in the trade we carry close to 30-40 days of VCM inventory. So the PVC prices fall and there is a lag in the fall in the VCM price. So even though technically there may be a spread of $200, but when you compare on apples to apples, it was not the case. That's the reason why we have incurred a loss.
Oh, understood. Thank you, thank you. Okay, that's it for my side.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Sir, as you elaborated about our I would like to have some understanding on how the commodity performance are going to be, like the likelihood going ahead, especially if you could throw some light on how things are shaping up for both the caustic soda and soda ash, as we have seen that the PBT numbers for soda ash moving up Q1Q from 5.41 crore to 15 crore. So are these sustainable numbers or any extraordinary line item that has been affected for soda ash? And then I'll come to caustic soda.
So in the 9 months performance, the exceptional item was only sale of land, which has been shown separately, which is 46 crore spread over quarter one, quarter two, and quarter three. All the numbers which we show above the exceptional items, we consider as normal items. And for soda ash, there is nothing one time in terms of the performance what you see.
Okay, so just understanding, sir, on a revenue increase of from say 86.71 crores to 89.76 crores, the profitability has gone up by 3 times. So what explains this rise in the profitability for the soda ash segment?
You see, last year we had...
I'm talking about the Q1Q, sir. First, if you could give me some understanding on Q1Q, sir.
Okay.
And then explain the last year phenomenon. Yes, please, continue.
So typically, there has been reduction in the power and fuel cost. And there has been certain efficiency drives in the plant, which we are working in. Thirdly is that if you see our production has also been higher compared to last quarter, giving a better absorption on our fixed costs.
Okay. So these are sustainable numbers, sir, going ahead also?
More or less what we anticipate our pricing. See, it is not that we've done this number this quarter vis-a-vis last quarter. Every time, if you see, there is a seasonal effect in the rainy season so far as soda ash is concerned. If you go back a quarter before, quarter one, we did an EBITDA of 19 crores with a top line of 87 crores. So quarter on quarter, our top line more or less remains the same while the profitability swings, and because of our production numbers and the cost per unit, you know, the economies of scale playing up. Additionally, we are seeing some decline in our prices of power and fuel, wherein we are seeing these numbers brighter.
So
what happens in quarter two also is that our source of power is not only coal, but also lignite, and the coal gives a better efficiency in terms of power and fuel generation. Coal gives a lesser efficiency compared to lignite, and since in the rainy season the lignite mining is stopped, so we have to substitute the lignite for coal, thereby increasing our power costs also. So which has got corrected again in quarter three in line with quarter one.
Okay, so just to sum up, sir, this reduction, which I think is around 20 crores for power and fuel cost, this is only on account of the fuel mix. So we will continue.
There are a couple of things. First of all is our EBITDA, if you see, is from 8 crore to 18 crore in soda ash. So the delta is 10 crore for a 3 crore increase in revenue. Okay. So the impact of power cost and the higher production into the fixed cost
totals up to around 8.5 crores, and the balance is additional volumes giving additional margin.
So and the our utilization levels are we are running at full capacity for soda ash.
We have maxed out on all our plants, barring caustic soda, where we operate at around 80% capacity. The PVC was only an aberration, which was a conscious call which was taken by the management, thereby deriving efficiency from the supply chain management, as we discussed initially.
Okay. And sir, just to conclude for soda ash, then what's the outlook currently, sir? I think so. There are some issues with, I think so, some imports happening, and even the big players did have gone for some price correction in the month of November. But again, sir, with China opening up, and I think so, some index in the Chinese trading market were pointing towards prices moving up to 5 to 6% over the last fortnight. So if you could give some color, how is the market currently shaped up, and some understanding of what the trend is?
So what we can say as of now is we are seeing the soda ash prices, which is around 34,000 to 35,000, to remain stable in the foreseeable future. There may be blips in terms of plus and minuses for any geopolitical event which comes in, but we anticipate the soda ash prices to remain stable all throughout FY24 also.
Okay. And lastly, sir, Turkey, the earthquake there, has that anyway affected the supplies or disturbed the soda ash market in particular? I think so. Turkey is a big player.
Turkey is a big manufacturer for soda ash. However, the supplying countries, the end consumers from Turkey business is not sourced from...
Supplying
regions are not impacted by the earthquake, number one. Secondly, is the taker of the Turkey soda ash would not substitute from our region. So we don't see any impact on that.
Right. And now to the caustic part, sir. When you were explaining, I think so, sir, with PVC prices bottoming out, I think so, if we may assume, for the near term, and moving up, we are now seeing that caustic soda has started correcting over a period of time. So how are the ECU, sir, currently, if you could give, and how is the market shaping up, sir? I think so, this 1 million ton addition of caustic soda volume for the entire country, especially the western part, where we also, we are in the south, I think so. So where western part, there is a significant increase in the capacity by 1 million ton. So how is the market shaped up, sir, for caustic soda, and your outlook for this?
I think our outlook is that, as Sartik has initially told, we are seeing softness in the costing prices as we speak, and we expect the caustic prices to remain depressed for the entire FY24. Given that, since we have a natural insulation or hedge by the PVCs, we anticipate the PVC prices to stay strong.
Okay. So we will be able to maintain on either of the same, either through caustic soda or through PVC, and this time PVC margins will be up and the caustic will go down.
Yes. The quarter two numbers which you see for caustic across the board was anyway an aberration. That was never to be maintained. So it's only that it's come, quarter two and quarter three. So it's now corrected and come to its natural course. Normally, if you see the commodities, when the such kind of moves happen, it goes down more below than its fair price maybe. And then with the demand supply mismatch correcting, it gets elevated. So maybe it is very depressed now. It will get correct and stabilized at a particular level, which is maybe a bit more than what the current prices we are getting.
Okay, what is the current ECU, sir? Can you give a ballpark number? What was the December exit and what are the current ECU?
Current ECU will be close to, I would say, 44,000.
And how are the utilization levels shape up, sir? I think so. The chlorine negative has reduced significantly over a period of
chlorine during quarter three was as low as I would say
say minus 12, minus 15 rupees. Now, chlorine negative has significantly come down, but it has not come to zero as yet. We feel that in the coming months, the chlorine negative will be close to zero. So, the ECU may not further go down.
Hmm. So, we can maintain this bracket of 42, 43, but the lower input cost, especially the power and fuel cost, will aid to the margin.
Yeah, but you see, just because the coal prices have dropped for the last 6 weeks, doesn't mean that my cost will go down from tomorrow. Everyone has got a supply chain of coal covered for at least 3 months because energy intensive industry like ours cannot sustain on a sporadic buying of coal. So everyone has got their supply chain covered. So the lower energy cost will kick in only somewhere maybe end of quarter one of next year. Every producer has got their own coal covered. So the price correction in the current coal prices will really kick in only somewhere maybe May, June of next year. I mean, quarter one end is what I...
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So for us, sir, the chlorine consumption, it is fully captive. There is no...
Not fully captive. I think we are 60% captive. 40% we are still on merchant sale.
Okay. And that realization was negative to the tune of 12 rupees for the last quarter.
Yes.
Okay. And sir, coming lastly to the interest cost, if I heard Satvik sir correcting that, the in finance cost line item would be to the tune of 125 crore for FY23, and we are expecting a 40 to 50% reduction. So it will be in the vicinity of 60 to 70 crore for FY24. This is what the projection is likely to be for the line item finance cost.
So for FY23, my interest cost may range from 125 to 130 crore. Depending on the refinancing we undertake or not. Given the base at 130 crores, let's say we take the refinancing, and once we do the refinancing, my interest cost benefit will also kick in FY24 because we will refinance with a lower interest cost loan, right? So in that case, we will be hitting the lower end of the interest cost next year, while this year end, our projected interest cost will be high, in which case there will be a 50% reduction. That means the number which I told was from 65 to 70 crores, depending on what kind of decision we take on the refinancing. This, however, is with the assumption that the interest cost cycle globally has peaked.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We take the next question from the line of Vidisha from SR Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. First of all, congratulations for your result. Actually, I have two questions. So the first is, you said that we have cash balance of around 135 crores, and we have already spent 60 crore, as you mentioned, which is 50% capex is over. So we will require other 60 crore for capex. So what would the company do for the 130 crore number? I want to know that.
Yeah, so good question. So first of all is when we have told that our capex is in line with 50% of completion does not necessarily mean that we have spent 50% of the capex cash. There are certain retention monies in projects like this. That's number one. Secondly, yes, after the capex, obviously we see some amount of idle cash to be there. We have our next round of growth capexes in line as we discussed. We will take the deliberation of the surplus cash either to pay the debt or utilize into the future capex by adding lesser amount of additional debt is what we need to see. So that deliberation will be taken somewhere in quarter two of next year. Till such time, we will have some amount of surplus cash, which will have a negative carry. Just to answer your question additionally, these cashes are lying in FDs,
in which we are getting an interest north of 7.5%, and my average overall interest cost, if you strip up across the old legacy loan, is 9% or sub 9% in some cases. So there is not a much impact of negative carry on the cash.
Okay. And can you share your like cash guidance for FY24 and like cash utilization strategy? You have already told me. Anything else apart from this like FD and the debt? Anything else you have in mind in such manner we can utilize this cash?
So as ma'am, we take this question on the guidance. We can take this opportunity to discuss the guidance for FY24. So we'll just take this. So for next fiscal, we anticipate the following in our businesses. First of all, synthetic rutile realization will stay soft. Synthetic rutile is a product which is subsumed under our caustic division. And the synthetic rutile, we expect the realizations to go down to as much as 20 to 25%. Similarly, for caustic realizations, it will remain weak. And we anticipate for the next fiscal, it will drop by 25%, with obviously a lag benefit effect of coal prices coming down, as we discussed. Now, since PVC again is a natural hedge to caustic prices, we anticipate at the same breath that the PVC prices will stay elevated. Coming to the specialty, which is basically our CPVC and SIOP, the prices we anticipate to remain stable with the incremental capacities on the ongoing projects to be made available for sale starting H2. And prices for soda ash, we think, as we discussed, would also remain stable. And as a management initiatives, we are driving certain operational efficiencies the soda ash plant. All this put together, we anticipate that the EBITDA growth for next year should be around 8 to 10% over the current year's projected close as a management initiative. Further, as we discussed, our interest cost will go down by at least 50 crores, thereby our profit before tax or PBT growth is anticipated to be in a range of 25 to 30 crores. Just by only having these price what we anticipate to be there and the initiatives getting executed as planned. Now, with this as an EBITDA, I think we will do an annual cash generation for FY24 of 200 crore plus after servicing the debt and the debt interest and principal and the government taxes. So we have to see as and when we are onboarding and announcing our next CAPEX, how much of the time, when is the time we announce that, we see the cash which is there in the balance sheet today, how does it add up there, and the CAPEX outlay of the project put together. Given the fact that the debt what we carry at that point in time, we have to take a call for our next growth CAPEX.
So just adding to what Pradeepta has just said, we are in the process of evaluating our growth plans for FY24. And as we have mentioned also in the past, that it will be in the specialty chemical space. And now we are looking at value-added products relating to chlorine chemistry. But, this will obviously direct what our cash utilization plans are for FY24. And, the moment our plans are formed up internally, it will be communicated to all of you.
Okay. Thanks a lot. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take our next question, we'd like to remind participants to ask a question. You may enter star and one. Next question is from the line of Kalpesh Agarwal from Lloyd LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Is it audible?
Yes, please.
Two questions from my side. Again, thank you. Bookkeeping questions. Sir, our revenue for Q3 has fallen by 12%, but our COGS, has fallen by 34% sharp.
Right. I want to understand what are the materials which has seen a sharp correction year on year for this quarter on a raw material front. And our power and fuel cost has gone up by 22%. And you mentioned that, you know, you want to reduce the power cost. So what could be the steady state power cost you are targeting, and you know, and on some clarification on the COG front will be appreciated.
So we don't see the COG that way. We can give it a business-wise margin. So if the top of the margin, let me give you just an update on the margins. Quarter on quarter, my caustic margin, which was in quarter two, was 33%. It's come down to 31%. SIOP at 40% has come down to 30%. PVC, which was minus 9%, has improved to minus 1%, almost break-even, as we told our strategy, and the way the prices have gone up, we see that this will turn out to a positive margin. CPVC, 26% last quarter, our margin is around 22% this quarter. Soda ash, which was at 9%, has gone up to 20%. So our EBITDA margin, if you see, for last quarter, that is quarter two of FY23, overall for the company was 16%. Now it has got elevated to 18%, more or less trending in line with what my previous quarter's margin at the business level was. It is basically because of the mix where we have derived the advantage of the margin. As and when we have the PVC in full flow, our margin will recalibrate to 17%, which is our estimated margin, EBITDA margin for the year.
Thank you. We take our next question from the line of Naitik Mohta from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. Just a couple of clarification. Like, what is the caustic soda prices that, what was the average prices that we realized in Q3, and what are the prices that we are seeing now in January, February?
So around 50,000 is what we are deriving now. Q3 and for currently what we are deriving is around 40 to 41,000. We anticipate it to go down a bit more from here on.
Yeah, just a follow on that. Like, we are expecting it to go down to 20-25% in FY24. So
no,
at what prices do you think it is going to stabilize?
So when we said 20-25%, it is not from the prices what we are seeing now. What we are now, as we speak, seeing our 40,000, it definitely would not go down 25% from there. It was on an annual estimate on an average price. So what we see is the prices would stable somewhere in this region for next whole of next fiscal.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the floor back to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everybody, for spending time with us this evening. I hope we've been able to clarify the questions that you all have asked. Hope to interact with you again next quarter. If any questions are on the way, please direct them to our investor relations agency, Dickinson, and we'd be happy to clarify those for you. Thank you once again.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of DCW Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.